Welcome to Hang On To Your Hat, Dads in Lockdown Special Series Episode 1. And we speak to Adam White from a quarantine hotel in Sydney.
Bad Daddy, you're a naughty boy.
These days, fatherhood is everywhere. You can't get away from it. Not that blokes haven't tried. If you're not a father, you've got a father. You're a son of a dad or a daughter of a bloke. But either way, being a dad is no picnic. The fear, the anger, the confusion and, well, the love, of course. Oh. Derek Myers and Dan Lee, together with their special guests, are here to share the highs and lows, the joys and the agony of being a modern dad. But most of all, to let you know that you're not alone.
Before I get over to the chat with Adam, I'd just like to say a shout out to Danny, Dan Lee, my co-host for Hang On To Your Hat. Things have been hectic this year and we took so long to get round to starting this year's season that lockdown happened and got us by surprise. So we've got plenty of projects coming up and no doubt Dan will be grabbing a few interviews here and there for this series. I want to say a huge thanks to the City of Yarra, who stumped up some financial help for us to get the equipment to allow us and postage to allow us to send quality gear to dads, and therefore not only be able to limit who we chat with based on their available technology. So we should get a wide range of different dads in lockdown and their experiences. Today I chatted with Adam White, who is in a hotel quarantine. He had to rush back to the UK. And he talks to us about the process of getting permission. His mum was gravely ill and Adam went over there to see her and she sadly passed while he was there. And he talks about that process and the process of coming home and what's involved in hotel quarantine. He chats to us from the hotel room with about 4 or 5 days left to go. I'm really pleased. I'm not pleased for him because it's a tough trot, but I'm pleased to have not in the studio Mr. Adam White, who is...
Yeah, it'd be nice to be in the studio.
It would be. I'm sure it'd be nice to be anywhere.
Yes.
Adam, where are you and what's going on?
Hi, Derek. Currently, I'm in the Sofitel Wentworth in Sydney. I'm in hotel isolation. I should be in the Melbourne hotel isolation, but unfortunately, due to circumstances completely in their control, that's all gone to CAC. Mm. So I'm in Sydney. Yeah, there you go.
So we've been hearing a bit. Obviously, hotel isolation's come into the news quite a bit due to the Melbourne one being sort of, they say it's the source of our big outbreak and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I haven't really got a clue as to what it's like. You see different people's opinions on, you know, whether it's torture and you're not getting looked after, or whether it's a walk in the park. And I reckon it'd be something to do with who you are and what you usually get out of life and what you need. Like, you've got a couple of little kids, don't you?
Yeah, I do have a couple of kids. Look, I mean, I'm on a 14-day isolation. Obviously, I knew to expect it when I was leaving Australia. Unfortunately, I had to leave because my mum was very unwell. Mm-hmm. So I had to get back to the UK quite urgently. So when I left, I knew that I was going to have to do this 2-week hotel isolation on the way back. When I actually left, which was at the start of June, obviously this outbreak hadn't happened in Melbourne. It was practically all under control. There were single number figures and lockdown was being relaxed and all the restaurants and the bars were reopening. So I left thinking, oh, everything's under control. Obviously everything that's happened while I was away, and obviously I was watching it all happening. Mm. When I actually came back, well, I had 2 cancelled flights to come back. Originally, I was due to come back on the 11th of June flying into Melbourne. That flight was cancelled. The problem is when your flights are cancelled, they don't give you an alternative. You have to try and get through on the phone and arrange something else. So I arranged another flight a week later for that to be cancelled again. then when I eventually spoke to someone about that flight, they said that they weren't flying into Melbourne because they were restricting flights to 50 people. And obviously the airlines were favouring business class passengers and cancelling economy flights people. So I got cancelled again. So in the end, I had to, unfortunately, shell out for a business class flight to get back to Sydney. So I got back on the, can't actually remember the date there. It's all a bit of a blur, but it was about, I don't know, 10 days ago. I've got 5 days left. So yeah, it would have been 9 days ago that I got back, to be met at the airport by the police and the army. The difference with the New South Wales to Victorian lockdown, Sydney lockdown, is that it's completely run by the police, right, with a backup by the army. So there's no private security firms here. The New South Wales police completely are running it. So you get a guard of honour. Basically, you get these face shields and masks to wear through the airport. Then you get met by nurses asking you questions when you get off the plane, taking your temperature. The plane, Qatar Airlines, you have to wear a mask the whole flight as well. And obviously, I was using hand sanitizer and trying to follow all the guidelines as well. So we got off the plane, got questioned by the nurses, got my luggage, walked through to be met by about 10 army personnel who load your luggage onto a coach. There's about 15 of us getting onto a coach where you have to sit separately. Then we drove around Sydney, not knowing where I was going. It was about 10:30 at night. Didn't have a clue where we were going. All of a sudden, we pulled up outside this hotel. A policewoman got on board, said we're now under the supervision of the New South Wales Police. And can everyone come off two at a time? Unfortunately, I was sitting at the back of the coach, so I was last off. So that would have been about 11:30 at night when I got into the hotel to three police people sitting at a desk asking me questions. Then they gave me my room number. I got taken upstairs by a couple of army people. The whole time everyone's wearing masks. Got taken to my room, which I'm on the 10th floor. My view is office blocks. Taken into my room, and then that's the last. I haven't been out of the room since. So I'm on day nine now.
In the lead up, like the aeroplane and the coach and the hotel, did you bond? Like in the movies, people go through these things, they bond. But I guess with this, then they put you in your own, it's like solitary. It's more Bourne kind of vibe.
There's no bonding because you can't tap through the wall from everyone. Like
there's someone in there. Tap, 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 tap.
I don't want to bond with anyone who's got the disease.
But it must be a bit
weird. Stay away from me.
Yeah. And I'm certainly not in the school of thought to complain. And you sound like you're just copping it all on the chin. And financially and everything, there's bigger things at stake. But
there is bigger things at stake. Yeah. But obviously, I try not to talk about it too much. Some of my friends say to me, oh, how are you coping? You know, I just say to them, can you just not talk about
keep
that?
Keep reminding you of how
don't keep
how
reminding
you
me of what a shit position I'm in here, if you know what I mean. It's just one day at a time. Yeah. I'm not even counting down the days. It's funny, yesterday, because I was sure it was Thursday and it was Friday, I was like, oh, that's one less day I've got to do, which I didn't realise.
That is a win.
That was a win. It was like, oh, it's Friday? I thought it was Thursday. But, yeah, the day is pretty – I mean, the room's not bad. The bed's comfortable. I've got my laptop. I've got TV, obviously. I've got – Netflix and Stan on my phone, and the TV in the room's got Chromecast on it.
Yep.
So I can stream TV to the TV, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I've actually taken this opportunity to watch Breaking Bad.
Oh, good, you caught up. Had you started at all?
Well, I never watched it before.
Oh,
so I started from the scratch. And I'm nearly at the end of series four.
Good work. What happens if you don't? What happens if you don't get it all done in 4 days? You should be able to smash it.
No, I should be able to get it all done by then.
Yeah, and let me know if you need any more. I've got heaps of ideas like that.
All right, thanks.
They give you another 2 weeks. Does it feel a bit weird being going through this really clinical police, military, all these rules, and the isolation and the expense, when you know that, you know, in your home, even in your home suburb, there's people going, having a sniff, going, oh no, I'll be right, and still, you know, delivering Uber Eats or still going down the shop or going to Bunnings.
Does it feel a bit frustrating? I mean, you know, I watch it from afar and I think, please, people, do the right thing.
Mm. It's up to us, isn't it? It's up to everyone.
Yeah, it's completely up to us to do the right thing. I mean, as soon as you get a sniffle, get tested, but then stay in as well and isolate.
Yeah.
I actually went on a cycling holiday to Vietnam in the last week of February.
Mm.
And one of the guys I was with actually flew out of Milan because he worked in Italy when it was really going off in Italy. So, and then when I got back, I got a cold straight away. So I actually got tested then.
Wow.
So that was back in March. And I isolated then.
Mm.
And I missed my daughter's 13th birthday party as well because of it. But then I was negative.
You're a bit of a breakthrough guy with all of this, aren't you?
Yeah.
First test.
There you go.
I don't know anyone's tested around these parts for, till
one. And then I've got tested again here.
Yep.
So you get tested twice while you're in quarantine here. You get tested on third day, I think it was.
Mm.
And I got a call a couple of days later to say it was negative. And I'm actually getting tested today.
Right.
So maybe they'll knock on the door and test me while I'm on the phone.
That'd be a scoop. That'd be a big scoop. Do they put it in your – because I'm a bit of a gagger. Like I can barely brush my teeth. I can barely brush my teeth without going into
it. You don't realise how bad it is.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Because they do your throat and then they do both nostrils and they don't just tickle it up there. They push it right down there.
Does it feel like it's like touching your eyes and stuff? Like I imagine it's
– Yeah. I mean, basically, they go through your nostril and they go right down to your throat.
All right.
It gets your eyes watering, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, something we can probably, at least half of us, look forward to at some stage.
I think they're talking about a quicker one with saliva, aren't they? But I don't know how far they are with that.
That'd be great. They'd be like those dudes who had a knee reconstruction in the 80s and they got these huge scars everywhere and then
keyhole.
Oh, I didn't know, wait, that kind of thing. So this is a fatherhood podcast. So we understanding that obviously quarantine is pretty full on for mental health. You were saying to me before we started chatting about the nurse that comes in. Can you? You were saying.
Yeah. So basically, I get a daily. I just get a daily phone call.
Yep.
From the nurse, just basically saying, you know, how are you feeling today? How are your symptoms? How are you feeling? You know, mentally, you feeling okay? Because I think they'll offer lots of like sort of counselling services if you start feeling a bit down.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, I think from the sound of it, this hotel is pretty full up. Of people in isolation. So I think, you know, if you're just stuck on your own in a room, if you think about it, I think the key is not to think about it too much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You've just got to, all of a sudden it will end.
Yeah.
So, and also I'm just trying to keep myself active. I did 5,000 steps the other day, walking up and down. There's 10 strides.
That's a month's worth, Adam. That's a month's worth of steps.
Well, there's 10 strides from the door to the window. So I did 5,000 of them to work that one out. So that took about an hour.
That wouldn't.
And I also got myself. And I also got myself a mini trampoline as well.
Oh right.
Which breaks down into the folds down into my case.
Yeah.
So trampolines are pretty good because it gets your heart going, but it's not as energetic as running. If you know what I mean. And so, I can't really run anyway.
So would you say the better person you are? Or like as far as maybe you're looking after your health and, you know, hanging out with your kids and all these other things, the harder isolation like this would hit you? Because, you know, sitting in a hotel room for 2 weeks, I don't think I'd go, what am I going to do for exercise? I don't think it would hit me. I'd go, oh, well, it's less than 6 months. It's not really going to matter that much. But seeing the kids, it's pretty full on.
So basically, the great thing about it is I do FaceTime every day with the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did it every day while I was in the UK as well. So by the time I get home, it'll be nearly 2 months by the time I've been away.
Yeah.
So I've done FaceTime with everyone at least once a day ever since I've been away. So I'm in contact with the kids. And obviously, you know, when I went away, they were back at school, and then they had their school holidays, and then the holidays get extended, and now they're doing homeschooling again, which is a problem for my younger one because I was helping her with her homeschooling.
Yeah. How old is she?
She's 11.
Yeah.
So she's still at primary school. Yeah. The older one's homeschooling is a bit easier because she's at senior school and they're full of proper online classes.
Yeah.
But my younger one, it's just more all assignments.
There's a big push. I've got a grade 6 and a grade 4. Similar, but both primary. But the grade 6 one's a bit of a worry for us because this is probably the period of time when they'd be ramping up that, you know, that sort of all the hype about, you know, when you get to high school, you'll be responsible for this and that, and you'll decide to go to classes, and you have to, but you've got to go there, and, you know, you're responsible. So in one sense, that whole ramping up, he's missing, but in another sense, he's doing it. It's sort of, you know, it's like they're taking care of their own business.
Yeah, I think what
10-year-old's doing way better.
Yeah, I think with the grade 6, she – when I wasn't there to help her, she's actually stepped up. One of those things that I was doing for her, she started to do it herself.
Yeah.
So, which isn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
She's taking a bit more responsibility, do you know what I mean, as opposed to just leaving me to do it.
Yeah.
So, and she's actually done it without fuss. So, it's been good for that.
As well as that, you're always there. You know, I've got these two studios, and so the kids are schooling in one. Our house is actually smaller than my studio. So
yeah, I've got
any clients in there at all. So there's no, so it's just the kids. So they go in the studio and they set up the computers and do their business. And when I can, I nick into the other room and do some editing or whatever I do. And so they don't have that always that access. They might walk in and I'm sitting here looking at the camera and I'm going with my one arm, I'm trying to quietly go, piss off, sort of thing. But your kids would be the same. It's just like I'm like 8 foot through the wall from my kids, but literally we were doing video calls yesterday. Like my discovered how to do it with Google.
Yeah.
And he's video calling me, and my daughter sort of runs in, Dad, help me. But it's not that much different. It's just the hugs and all that. And they've got their mum there.
Yeah, that's right. Like she's there as well. I mean, she does work during the day. But she has, obviously, if they've got any problems, she can help them when she gets home. She gets home about 3-ish anyway.
Yeah. So that's awesome. But it'd be a great day when you get home. So you're in Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
So what happens if you fly into Melbourne and they say you have to do 2 weeks quarantine?
Well, I don't think you do, as far as I know you don't, because obviously I'm not flying in from international.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, maybe I've got more chance probably of catching it in Melbourne than bringing it in at the moment.
Well, that's it. It's like the fruit fly thing. No one really knows which way is who's trying to protect who here. Exactly. Yeah. So you've got about some of the big topics that I like to talk about on this show. You probably touch on a whole bunch of those, and one of them is distance. Long distance, being a kid, emigrating, I guess you'd call it, being away.
Yeah.
A lot of friends of mine are from the UK and Germany and various other countries. And, you know, when you're young, you go there and you do the best for your family and all that. But then there comes a time, which you've been going through now, where that distance becomes a big thing. You know, I've got friends whose parents come out and visit their grandkids all the time, and they fly back and fly there. And I watched my parents go through that in the 70s and 80s. So they emigrated here with us when we were 6 or 7. And I watched them go through that process. But in those days, a phone call to Nana was,
you know, you got 10 seconds on the phone and they snatched it away. It was like $10 or something using STD. And Nana came once and that was it. It was like once in those days, once you emigrated, that was done. There was no video call. You weren't going to package up a Super 8 film and a projector and send it back to Scotland sort of
thing. Oh, yeah, it's massively different these days with the FaceTime and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously it is a big problem. That's one of the big drawbacks of moving, for me moving overseas was leaving all my family in the UK.
Yeah.
Especially in the case of like my mother passing away now. Mm. Massive thing, she's not there anymore. She's never not been there my whole life. And now all of a sudden she's not there.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have had it any other way. I had to go and see her.
Yeah.
But it's not just a case of, going a mile down the road to see her. It's a case of flying like halfway around the world, and then with all this COVID thing going, getting approval to leave the country, and that took about 4 or 5 days.
Mm.
And then obviously, with what's the hassle of getting back as well. It's just been a real journey, let's say, for the last couple of months. But I think they're doing the right thing with what I'm doing here, putting us in quarantine and making sure, trying to control the spread.
Mm.
It's just unfortunate that what's happened in Melbourne just shows how easily it can spread if it's not done properly.
That's it, yeah. And do you think this, can you imagine what it'd be like if you weren't you and you weren't able to, in this current situation in your life, able to go through all of that?
Awful.
And it's pretty hard. And I assume that's what it was like for my parents. You just didn't have the dough to just jump up and when it was time to just go to the UK. I remember my mum going back after my nana had passed and to deal with stuff. But it is tough. But this whole, this whole process you've been through and are still going through. And the sacrifices that you have to make because that's how it is. Maybe that gives you that sort of a stronger sense that you're doing it for your mum and it takes away some of that guilt.
Yeah,
that some people
actually,
are feeling
a really good
here.
Point, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, basically, I'm going through all this now because I went home to see my mom.
Mm.
So I had a really good. I've got a really good reason of sitting here in quarantine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got a really good reason for being here and doing that because of what I did.
Yeah.
So I can't begrudge that. Mm.
There's a bit of a backlash. You see on the social media people going, when they were talking about having to pay, people having to now pay for their own quarantine and stuff like that. And there's a bit of a backlash going, why didn't they come home before? And blah, 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 blah. But then I guess you're in a position of people of having to then say, your personal story to people
everyone's got a different story. Some people were stuck there, some people couldn't get back.
Exactly.
There are different, everyone's got a different, not everyone's the same. You can't just say a blanket statement. I'm sure some of the hotels in Melbourne were done properly. They only really talk about two hotels where they had problems. So I'm sure there were in a lot more hotels did the job right, but but these two hotels have done. It spread into the northern suburbs and it just gone on.
And what do you think about the politicising of it all? Like, I know we're getting a bit off fatherhood, but you sort of look at the world. What do you say to your kids when you talk about world leaders? And I mean, I don't remember my parents ever mentioning politics at all.
No, I think personally that. Some of the world leaders have done a pretty awful job. I think they've done a really bad job in the US and I think they've done a really pretty poor job in the UK to start with. Mm. They backtracked a bit, but it's as if they denied it was going to happen to them.
Yeah.
Like the UK, for instance, I think Italy had about 20,000 deaths and they had none. They had plenty of time to put things in place, but they've never, ever quarantined. While I was away, I heard that 18 million people had flown into the UK since it all started and just gone out into the population, and then they wonder why they've got so many cases. And once it gets a, the problem is with it is once it takes a hold and it spreads, it's so hard to control it.
Yeah,
that's where Australia did so well in controlling it, is that it didn't get out into the population. But once it does, it's just really hard to stop it getting out, taking a hold. I think you see that for some reason Scotland's done really well, but England's done pretty bad, but they've got different rules.
It's hard not to criticize it,
but it's interesting that, you know, how Brazil, USA, UK to a certain extent, some of these leaders have just not helped the situation whatsoever.
I think the economy is more important than the health. That's it. It seems to be a pattern forming where these people that seem to be in leadership positions who clearly are not, they're not leaders, they're social influencers there's other words for them, what they are, people that have been bought in and, you know, Murdoch'd into the position or whatever it is. But the thing that's missing is leadership. Like, there appears to be none. Here in Victoria, fine. Even, you know, I don't agree with the New South Wales Premier and so many things, but either way, they're there in their job as leaders, and that's how they got their job, the leader of a party or whatever, and they're doing it, they're leading. You can feel it, even though there's all this backlash for everything you do, all that, there's nothing you do. But that Boris and Trump and all that, they appear not to be actual leaders. They appear to be people that have just accidentally fallen on this job due to, you know, circumstances, you know, ridiculous world circumstances. So, and then this is the only time they get shown up. Like, they'd be fine if it wasn't for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And also the other thing is, remember, this is a health crisis.
Yeah.
You really need to listen to the health people, health professionals to manage it.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. If you don't listen to a politician, why would a politician know what to do, what's best for everyone? They really need to listen to the health professionals.
Exactly.
How to do it. That's why I'm quite comfortable in wearing a mask. You know?
Absolutely.
Because not only would I not want to catch it, but I wouldn't want to pass it on to anyone at the same time.
Have you got one ready? Have the family got you a custom special mask?
No, I've got plenty of masks myself. I was travelling with those N95 ones.
Yeah. Oh, that's the real thing.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I just thought I'm not going to risk this. I mean, it's travelling, especially going to the UK, where obviously. And the interesting thing is, I mean, they do a daily update in the UK. They start with how many deaths they've had that day. Yeah. That's what they start with. And if it's under 150 deaths a day, they think they're doing well. So that's the difference between here and there.
But what about the effect? I understand 150 people are dead, but what about this news cycle? What about the effect? All the adults constantly, I'm talking about the kids again, they're exposed to this news all the time, just how many deaths it's coming, you're going to die, and you know, and now that they've got no choice but to really hammer home that kids can get it and kids can die of it. Like, they're really, last week they've had to hammer that home because of the whole Trump thing, kind of saying schools should open and all that. And I just keep thinking the kids get exposed to that. They're exposed to me whinging about Trump all the time. They're exposed to me carrying on about, you know, and I'm starting to realize, I don't know about you, when you get home, you'll realize your kids have been exposed to, you know, some pretty negative news all the time.
I mean, you imagine this year we felt this and then we had the bushfires as well.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy 6 months, isn't it? Or 8 months now, whatever it is.
Yeah. We grew up with the threat of there was going to be a nuclear war any moment when I was.
Yeah, that's right.
We were similar age. But there wasn't one. That's the difference. Yeah. There wasn't one. And having nearly had one a few times and then not, didn't affect our health. It didn't affect, you know, technically it didn't affect us. But this is different. And I think the problem with us middle-aged people is we go, we've had these crises. It didn't get us. It didn't happen. It was close, but it didn't happen. Whereas this is, you know, with the climate, they're getting pummeled with this thing. So I don't know whether we're meant to override.
The thing about it is not only that with the children, you've got to remember it's not only but they got to live with it. They've also got to follow the guidelines as well.
Yeah.
So they've got to wear a mask. You know, we didn't even think about everything that we experienced when we were younger, what with nuclear threat and everything like that. It never affected our day to day.
That's right.
This is affecting their day to day.
Yeah.
You know, their homeschooling and, you know, obviously we never have experienced anything like this.
No, that is true.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And what are they, is this an awakening? Is this going to be another awakening? That's what I'm thinking, you know. The powers that be, I guess you'd call it, are constantly denying science and all that. But that science denial is getting a bit of a hammering right now for obvious reasons. People are physically dying, you know, next door in people's houses. People are dying of science denial. Let's face it. That you can't. And people are just, it's just becoming numbers. People.
Well, the thing about like the US, the reason it's so bad is because there's so many people denying it.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not following the guidelines.
Exactly.
It's just crazy.
They build it into a conspiracy theory and then people die.
That's right.
It's that simple. And that could coronavirus save the planet? Do you know what I mean? Like, could this switch around and like right now, because the planet being destroyed by us because of science denial and all that is later, just like our nuclear war that we're going to get. That's later and later. So could could it bring home to all ages rather than just kids? Because kids are pretty cool with climate, but they're also, you know, at the whim of politicians and the media.
I know, it's interesting. I mean, when I noticed when they do a daily broadcast at 4 o'clock in the UK on the BBC, like with the generally it's Boris Johnson, but it'll be one of his top ministers doing it otherwise. And they say about the amount of deaths, but then they just talk about getting everything back to normal.
Yeah.
You know, they're just really focused on, it's as if like they know social distancing, wearing masks. They've said that people have to wear masks now in shops in the UK and on public transport. Is that just going to become the new norm? And I think in the UK, somewhere like that, it's got to such extent that they don't think they were ever going to wipe it out until there's a vaccine. I think they're just trying to control it until there's a vaccine. You know, whereas here, well, Australia, they think, right, we're going to get rid of it. We're going to, you know.
Yeah. The New Zealand plan. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, work with the New Zealand plan, which we nearly did.
Mm.
I don't think in those countries where it had a big foothold that they ever think they're going to eliminate it. I just think that they're going to try and control it with social distancing, masks, and wait for the day of a vaccine to come. I think that's really what their plan is.
Yeah,
they're never going to eliminate it.
Now you're in the industry a global industry, aren't you?
I'm in a global industry, and our industry has been decimated. My industry is I'm involved with a company that manufactures skincare, professional use, so in beauty salons, bars, and medi spas, hotels and resorts, and basically our industry has just been closed down. It's really affected our business. Our only customers really are ones that are selling online at the moment. Although in Australia they've started up again, but apart from Victoria.
Do you think a lot of industries are starting? I noticed that Japan have got an incentive scheme for their companies to move away from China and back into Japan or neighbouring independent Asian countries. Do you feel there's going to be another big push for local industry to sort of try and reboot local manufacturing and stuff like that?
I think there's a massive reliance on China over the last 10 or 15 years, and it's just got bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't know. I'm just talking post-vaccine because I don't think anything much is going to change till then. But I wouldn't be surprised if in 12 months' time after that, everything just goes back to normal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a sense of panic where, all right, let's make sure there'll be a lot more there'll be a lot of government warehouses around the place, I reckon, yeah. Stuffed full of things for next time, because, you know, how could there not be a next time? But on a plus side, before we finish up, I'm going to discount as an automatic hugging the kids and the missus, and I'm going to say, all right, Adam, what is the big thing you're looking forward to when you get home?
When I get home?
Yeah, what's your first thing after the obvious first two?
Well, I probably can't say the first thing.
Well, that's part of number two. So.
I think just basically breathing in the air, being home.
Okay, yeah.
You know, being in my own environment. You know, I've been away from home for 2 months. There's a lot happening in 2 months.
Yeah.
So you can hear, I'm going to get a knock on the door now. I can hear lunch coming.
Oh, you beauty. That's perfect timing.
Yeah, so that's basically, I just open the door and there it is in a brown paper bag.
Oh, really?
Who knows what I've got today? It's all a surprise.
Oh, looks fantastic.
No, I think, yeah, just getting home, back to my own environment, I think it'd be great. And, like, speaking to my friends, I can't see them, but speaking to them on the phone. I have kept in contact with a lot of people anyway. Yeah. A lot of people have been kind enough to call me. One of my good friends, Dave Parsons, he sent me a case of red wine, which I'm only allowed one bottle at a time, but
why is that?
That's helped pastor. Oh, yeah.
What?
I know. Oh, it's 3 beers a day or 1 bottle of wine a day.
Although 1 bottle of wine a day, yeah, I'm not piss fit. 1 bottle of wine now would send me on my ear.
Yeah, well, actually, that's exactly right. I mean, I did a bottle yesterday, and I had an early night. Let's just say,
as long as they smuggle some Panadols in there as well.
Yeah. No, I got Panadol.
Yeah, fantastic.
But no, I think it's just getting home and breathing in, being in my own environment as well, being in my own house.
Yeah. What about a backyard?
My dog.
You've got a backyard. Budgie.
Yeah, it's got the backyard. Seen the dog, seen the budgie.
Yeah.
Sure, the budgies miss me.
Guaranteed. Fantastic, Adam.
In my Lambrettas as well. I'm sure they've missed me. Actually, my club plate. I'm getting a bit worried. It might have run out.
Yeah, mine ran out. I've got to go through the whole thing again.
No, I think I'm all right. I think you have 3 months.
Yeah.
After the date. So I think it ran out on the 6th of June.
Okay.
So I've got all the paperwork, so I should just be okay.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good news. But whether you're allowed to ride it or not, we won't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, thanks a million, Adam. I appreciate you sharing this experience for our first of the Lockdown Dad special. For Hang On To
Your Hat. No worries, Derek.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Bye.
Enjoy your lunch.
Bye. Oh.